Well, work is continuing on a proposed small modular reactor, or SMR, at NB Power's Point LePreux plant. ARC Clean Technology, their reactor may soon undergo a federal impact assessment if Canada's Environment Minister deems it necessary. The ARC 100 reactor is one of two SMR projects being developed in St. John. We've talked about that lots on the show, about these small modular nuclear reactors. Both those projects have received millions in taxpayer dollars, but our next guest says this would be the first nuclear project in Canada to be subject to the Impact Assessment Act. Carrie Blaze is a lawyer with the Canadian Environmental Law Association. Carrie, good morning.
Good morning, Jane.
Maybe you can just start by telling us, what is an impact assessment exactly?
Sure. So the impact assessment process, as we know it, was revised and came out in 2019, but Canada has actually had an impact assessment process in the 1970s, the 1980s, and this is a process that allows us to consider the impact of a project before it develops. So it's a look before you leap approach. So you're looking at, you know, what are the risks, what are the costs, what are the harms, both you know, current generations and future generations, the life cycle of the project, before any decision is made as to whether it should be developed.
And does every energy project proposed in Canada, does every project go through this process?
Unfortunately not. So what we're actually seeing is a rollback of the number and the expanse of projects that are actually being subject to an impact assessment process. And this is a globally recognized planning tool for environmental law and for public participation. And what we're seeing is with nuclear projects, things like new reactors, decommissioning of a reactor, or even refurbing one, are not activities that trigger the impact assessment process.
I mean, I think a lot of people listening to that would be very surprised to hear that. Why? And I don't know very much about impact assessments, but why? Like, why are there not as many as we would maybe like to see?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And the organization I work for, we're among those who have been pushing for broader application of the Impact Assessment Act, purely because it allows for that rigorous, impartial review of a project, and it has multiple stages where the public can get involved. And so when we hear from communities that they don't have access to information about what's being proposed, or they don't have access to, you know, fulsome participatory rights, we look to Impact Assessment to fill that gap. So the Impact Assessment Act takes a project list approach. So if you're on the project list, you get an assessment. If you're not, you have to go this route, which is asking the minister to put the project on the list and therefore trigger the impact assessment process.
And who would be asking for this? The company or the province or NB Power?
Yeah, so this is a unique mechanism that we have within the Act, that any member of the public, you can be a member of the public as an individual, a community group. It's a written letter, essentially, to the minister setting out a number of reasons why it would be in the federal interest. It would be in the interest of the public. It would also consider, you know, adverse environmental effects. So you make that argument to the minister, as the Coalition for Responsible Energy Development did. And then they will decide, you know, yes or no, will the project go for an impact assessment?
So when you look at a project like small modular reactors, and especially looking at the ARC 100 proposal here in New Brunswick being developed in St. John, what are some of the impacts that you think would be worthwhile to consider with a project like that?
So as a first of its kind project, it's currently just a conceptual design. You know, it ought to attract the most rigorous public review. And so then you can challenge assumptions of, you know, its so-called cost effectiveness, its so-called passive safety and design features. And so within an IA or an impact assessment process, you could consider things such as its technical and economic feasibility. And so, you know, what are those financial risks? You know, an upfront evaluation of, you know, development costs, the financial burden, let's say, to manage a new type of high-level radioactive waste. And what additional safety measures would you need at Point LePreux, given you now have a multi-reactor site? And what is the cost for that as well?
I see. And so once the government goes through this process, and we're still waiting to find out if the environment minister deems it necessary in this case, but if they do and they go through this impact assessment, then what? If they did they just kind of leave the decision in the hands of a province, or can they do they have the power to say this can't go forward?
Yeah, so we have until January 2nd to hear back from the minister. He's been given a 90-day window to make that decision. And so if it should proceed to an impact assessment, that will actually have to go forward before the project can go to licensing. And we know the proponent, New Brunswick Power, would like to get a license to start construction in June of next year. And so if an impact assessment is granted, that process has to start and finish before licensing can commence.
I see. So that's a totally other step here that needs to happen for it to be licensed. I see. Okay. And also, I'm wondering because there are two companies in New Brunswick that are developing SMRs. There's ARC 100, and then there's Moltex, is the other company developing SMR technology, also in St. John. Will they be subject to an impact assessment?
So in the original request for an impact assessment, the Coalition for Responsible Energy Development in New Brunswick had asked for both SMRs to be part of an impact assessment. So you could consider, the site-wide impact of having now three different reactors on one site. What are the impacts and safety implications from accidents stemming from that? The Impact Assessment Agency of Canada got back to them and informed the Coalition for Responsible Energy Development that by virtue of Moltex having a reprocessing plant for high-level radioactive waste as part of its design feature, that component would trigger the Impact Assessment Act. So, that's proposed for the mid-2030s. So if we can hang on a decade, and we'll see if an impact assessment, if a project, comes to fruition, there would be, according to the Impact Assessment Agency, an IA for that project by virtue of the reprocessing plant that it would have with it.
How long do these take, by the way, these impact assessments?
So it does vary. There is flexibility built into the Act for the proponent. So the public, it can be quite quick if you are trying to participate in the process. You'll have a 60-day window to provide comments, multiple opportunities to do so. The proponent does have more leverage to kind of start and stop the clock. But what would we be looking at initially is a planning phase. So, getting out to communities, understanding the issues, getting a sense of what should inform the impact statement, and the planning phase can take up to 180 days.
Wow. Okay, and we know millions of dollars in public funds, whether that's from the federal government or the province, have already been invested in these SMR projects. How confident are you that the Impact Assessment Agency of Canada and the federal Environment Minister will be objective in this process?
Great question. So I have no doubt that, and we do know that the federal government is strongly lobbied by the nuclear industry, and that's part of the reason why we don't have impact assessment for nuclear projects is because of successful lobbying by an industry with a vested interest. And so we do hope the minister makes the right decision and grants an impact assessment for this first of its kind project, which is the issues an impact assessment would review and the information that the public would have access to is quite different than what you would see in a more narrow regulatory licensing proceeding.
And also, I mean, we are facing a timing issue of like we need to reduce our carbon footprint, and the environment minister is tasked with that for the more than anyone, I guess, in the Trudeau cabinet. So do you think he's under immense pressure here to consider to give scrutiny or to give more consideration to energy projects that do reduce our carbon footprint, like potentially like these ones as they're being pitched?
For sure. And I think that actually supports the argument that there should be an impact assessment because part of that process would allow us to consider the project contributions to our climate commitment. And so that would be the lens through which we could actually look at, well, what are the impacts, for current and future generations, including the waste that would be produced, And how does this project allow us to uphold our international commitments, including mm-hmm. climate? And so this process would allow us to get at that information, because right now there's a debate around when this proposal would even, you know, be operational. And so it would provide a lot of clarity to what is otherwise just a conceptual design at this time.
And I apologize, I should have asked you this earlier, Carrie, but what is your role in all this? Are you part of the team that's trying to convince the environment minister to even approve this process for an IA, or do you get involved once the IA is underway?
Excellent question. So the Canadian Environmental Law Association, we wrote a letter of support recognizing we support the Coalition for Responsible Energy Development's request, as the number of Indigenous and environmental groups from across the country. And as nuclear is one of the many issues we look at as a public interest legal aid clinic, we were happy to lend our expertise.
Well, 90-day window for the minister to decide, January 2nd. I'll put that in my calendar. Maybe we'll check back in with you then and see what he decided.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Jane.
Thanks, Carrie. That's Carrie Blaze, a lawyer with the Canadian Environmental Law Association. We reached ARC Clean Energy for comment, and this is the statement that they sent along. ARC Clean Energy fully supports the important regulatory processes designed to protect the environment and well-being of Canadians. Our advanced small modular reactor technology offers inherently safe, reliable, and carbon-free power, and we are well prepared to participate in any environmental impact processes required by provincial and federal jurisdictions. So there you have it, a comment there from ARC Clean Technology in St. John.